Hi.
Whoa. Whoa.
Wow.
Who was that? I don't know. Was it Paul? It was got to be Paul.
It was Paul.
It's the aliens.
Did you ever watch the movie Police Academy?
I've heard of it.
Oh my God.
I think I did, but I don't remember hardly anything of it.
So there's like two things. There's a guy that has a lot of noises in it. That's not where I'm going from. That's really like funny and good. But there's another guy. He's a comedian. Something like Bobcat. I got to find it. Bobcat. I can't pronounce his last name. He did this voice where he just would scream everything he said. And I thought that was his real voice. And it turns out like it was just a bit he did. So like he did 40 minutes of stand-up comedy just being like screaming. And that's what I have to contribute to today's episode.
I mean, I showed up. That's my contribution.
I haven't seen you all day.
Yeah. There's a reason for that. You didn't see me all day yesterday either.
Working the night shift?
No, not really. Just stuff.
Stuff.
Just life.
Stuff and things.
Stuff and things. Did you see Chris's picture?
I did see that.
Jackson wearing Adidas gear?
Yeah.
I mean, freaking fly.
I almost printed out the Adidas logo just in white. I was going to tape it in my shirt and take a picture, but yeah, I didn't do that.
You don't own an Adidas shirt, Jason?
Bruh, I own 450,000 black t-shirts.
Right.
And this green one that you and I bought at Walmart.
Right. All right. Well, I guess I know what we have to do next time.
Buy an Adidas one at Walmart.
If Adidas, if they sell a size that fits me, they do not sell it in the store.
Oh, yeah. I remember learning about your struggles of shopping.
I'm going to open a store that's just big and tall Adidas gear called Badidas.
Do it. Ba-dum-dum-dum.
It'll be adjacent.
Oh, yes.
Got him.
Stole your joke. Stole your joke.
All right. I'm waking up now.
Every time we do this, I think about the iTunes review that just says it's called 5 minutes of nothing about our show.
Where do we even go from here?
Okay. So I have been on a journey and it started January 3rd of this year when I had surgery and then haven't been able to do anything other than sit. And so I've like come to this realization that I'm exhausted and I'm also tired of like writing for the web all day and then writing for the web on the side. I'm just really tired of web. And so I ordered a BeagleBone Black. It's like a Raspberry Pi.
Didn't know you had a Beagle.
Anyway, so the BeagleBone Black is like a Raspberry Pi, but apparently Raspberry Pis are impossible to get right now.
Yeah.
Because of the supply chain stuff. Like there's a whole website just dedicated to Raspberry Pi stock. I do have an end goal in mind. It has nothing to do with trying to start a business or make money. I just also need a hobby. So yeah. I ordered 50 LED lights, some little buttons. What else did I get? I got a speaker and a amplifier for it. I got a microphone.
I bought a kit like that too. It's got tons of resistors and LEDs and just a $50 kit of random junk to go program. Well, I can't remember. Is the BeagleBone, because like the Raspberry Pi is a full computer, but like a ESP32 and stuff, those are like just more like Arduinos. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like that's kind of what I was getting into a few months back. And I haven't done a whole lot with it recently, but like did the air quality monitor and have that talking over MQTT and whatever to Mosquito running on my Raspberry Pi. So it's kind of its own little IoT device, which is fun. But I was doing the same stuff with ESP32s have lots of LED software that people have built. And like there's a package that will take its Wi-Fi chip and it will attempt to connect to Wi-Fi. And if it fails after 30 seconds or a minute or whatever, it will broadcast its own SSID to allow you to log in to it, configure Wi-Fi, and it will restart the signal and try and use it as a client again or whatever, which is like pretty genius for a little library to use for IoT devices. But I couldn't remember if the BeagleBone was like trying to be like a, well, and of course too, there's the Raspberry Pi compute modules, which are more like the little controllers versus a Pi 4 and stuff that's like a full-on computer.
Yeah, the BeagleBone's computer. It runs Debian. So when I ordered this stuff, I knew nothing about it. After talking to my friend Will, I'm probably going to like try and get more into the microcontroller route. I had two LEDs turn on with a button. And at the moment I thought like, oh, I could invent SpaceX. I'm a genius.
It's fine. Fun. Would you ride it in?
So the first thing I did was I used Elixir Nerves, which is, if you're listening, not familiar, it's basically just a way to build Elixir apps on microcomputers and controllers. And it was cool. It was really cool. You build the app, you flash it to an SD card, and you load the computer from the SD card, and then you can SSH into it, and you're automatically in an Elixir terminal. And so there's a GPIO library called Circuits I used, and I learned how to make a gen server in Elixir. So it was cool. And then I have very ambitious goals for this project I want to do. So I've been trying to learn how to do graphics and stuff. I'm trying to go like low level, and it's really hard and I'm failing miserably. But like, I bought a $20 monitor from a guy last night and just like wrote out to the Linux frame buffer directly and got it to render. And I was like, this is awesome.
That was fun, man. I love that stuff too. I don't have enough time for it, but it is a blast to like build little things like that that actually interact with hardware. Cause the web is fun, but the web is the web, and it's not as cool as building hardware stuff. For example, yesterday I took my car in for an oil change and it took an extra 2 hours because they decided to update the OS on my car and it froze for 45 minutes at 91%. And the technician is a friend of mine and he sent me a picture of it and it's like 91% status undefined and like several other messages that were undefined. And I was like, oh, that's reassuring. So yeah, you get to break super cool stuff like that. That's the awesome part of doing hardware stuff. Yeah.
He
had like a separate flash drive that he tried and that one worked.
Well,
and
did he try turning it off and turning it back on again? Yeah.
I don't know. At 90%, I feel like I'd be pretty committed to wait it out.
Somebody yesterday told me, like, I forget what brand it was, but they were like, yeah, if this was the other brand I used to work for, basically, if it froze in the middle of it, it bricked the device and you had to like rip out the dash and replace the head unit and stuff. And I was like, oh, great.
I can't wait to get to that level of professionalism. I'm close. It's cool. And I still love web development. Don't be wrong. I just need to not do it 24/7 or I'm going to like
burn out.
Yeah, I think that's what I feel.
Same.
I tried using Ruby to program some stuff. First started just by installing using apt install Ruby. So I didn't have to build it from source, but it gave me Ruby 2.5. And I was trying to get this library I found called Ruby 2D up and running, which is a way to like build a GUI using Ruby and you can draw shapes and stuff. It's really cool. It's built on top of another library the same author wrote for C called Simple 2D. And it works great on my Mac. Well, the first thing I tried to do is when I installed it was it needs Ruby 2.7. So then I had to install Ruby from source, which took an hour and 45 minutes on my BeagleBone. And then I couldn't get it to compile.
I forget what the library was that Tenderlove wrote that I used for the air quality sensor on the Raspberry Pi. It was like what I used to connect to the GPIO stuff. Oh, it was like the UART gem or something.
Okay.
If I remember right. And there's I2C and UART and a bunch of other little protocol things. And I don't know a whole lot about how they work themselves, but it is nice to have somebody like Tenderlove already solve that problem for you. And you just grab the gem and make LEDs go blinking.
Yeah, I did try MRuby briefly. I used MRuby to generate a gradient that I sent to the frame buffer. And it was the first time I used MRuby, which was cool.
Well, I just play with some MRuby stuff, so that's why I was curious.
What'd you do?
The Ruby?
Well, there's a Ruby app on iPhone and iPad where you can write Ruby. And then I started looking at it a bit more the other day, and I was like, wait, this is using MRuby. And I was like, I've not actually seen MRuby being used out in the wild before. So I was like, oh, this app is using MRuby under the hood. And so I was just playing with it a little bit more. So anyway, yeah, that's why I asked about MRuby.
On the Ruby 2D docs, if you're like clicking next while you're going through them, there's like one I don't know they meant to be public because it's not in the sidebar, but if you hit next, you end up on a thing about building it with MRuby and how it's experimental. And I never got as far as trying that. The other thing I tried was Dragon Ruby. I'm not necessarily building a game with it, but I get some graphics that way. But I also couldn't get that to run on the BeagleBone. They support the Raspberry Pi, but I don't know. So far, I just keep striking out. I'm at the point now where I'm exploring like lower level options like C and have been just
writing ones and zeros now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Straight to the matrix.
Just write straight binary.
Oh, I was looking at C. I did some MicroPython today, but I don't know. It's just fun. It's nice to like no deadline, no stakeholder, no anything. Like, it's just programming.
We're also making something in the real world, which is awesome. We do all the stuff in the browser and it's cool, but you
not
know,
the real world.
It's not something you can touch until we're all in the matrix. The buttons and LEDs are a lot of fun. But next step, you're going to like rip into the wiring of your minivan and start like souping it up. And I know that's what's going to happen.
I can see you having like a Fast and the Furious arc.
Yeah, you're going to probably
the Honda
start.
Odyssey.
Yeah.
I feel like the next step is you can replace Exhibit and start pimping people's rides. I really think like you're already riding to that. They were using like those cheap $20 monitors anyways. So
that's true.
Minivan probably could have a good, 16 of them in there at least? 2 or 3 per seat. And then a lot of speakers.
My van has a hotspot, so like the world is mine.
Yeah, damn. Seriously. The next show on Go Rails is going to be like Pimp My Minivan. It'll be you using Ruby.
Go Rails is going to turn into like a TV network.
Yeah, it'll be Ruby TV instead of MTV or RTV. Boom.
Have y'all ever tried Pi Hole on the subject of Raspberry Pi?
I did, and then it was like blocking things that never were supposed to get blocked. So yeah, it was kind of like YouTube stopped working at some point because it was like blocking ads or whatever. And YouTube was like, what? So
What is Pi Hole? I don't know what that is.
It's like an ad blocker. It basically replaces your gateway for your network connection at home and you run your internet traffic through that. And then it will go ahead and block stuff as requests come through and stuff. So then it can kind of filter out ads and whatever automatically. It's like a proxy that will take care of that for you.
Cool. It's really cool. I have like a Raspberry Pi 3 sitting on my desk right now that
it's worth a lot of money right now.
Well, I mean, ooh, in the box.
It's still in box. Yeah.
I literally opened it.
Put it
today.
On eBay for $500.
Oh crap. All right. I got to go. But I never did anything with it. I still like want to, but yeah, I am
that's
like curious
one.
About doing more stuff with hardware and like I've always been interested in it. I just wound up in software.
Now you can do both.
Both.
Now you can break both. It.
I've ended up in a place though where like because I only write software and I'm incredibly OCD, my desk is very like nothing on it. And right now I feel like I'm in hell because like I have a monitor on it. Oh my God, Andrew's showing us his and I'm also freaking out.
Yeah.
So I'm learning all about this new world.
That's how it goes. Cause then you end up with like resistors laying all around and you have a soldering station yet?
Not yet. I just
got one for Christmas. So
that's what I want
to
do.
It's the rabbit hole you end up going down because you're like, oh, I just need to connect all these things together and whatever. There's a guy on YouTube. If you ever want to get into soldering and circuits and stuff, he has a hilarious channel. He's like Big Clive is his name. And he like just buys these awful, terrible electronics on eBay and all this other stuff that are like things that could actually kill you. And he like takes them apart, reverse engineers the circuit board and everything. And he'll like hack LED light bulbs to be more efficient, just exploring circuits and whatever. But he like has a little clock or a little Christmas tree or like these little soldering projects that you just get a little baggie with no instructions and all these little parts and soldered together. And I've been watching him and the way that he'll hold He'll hold the solder, the resistor, the circuit board, all of that in one hand with his fingers in this crazy like grip. And then the other hand, he's got the soldering iron. And I'm like, geez, this is wild. Cause he's like so precise holding things with two fingers or whatever. And you end up going down the electronics rabbit hole because there's so many cool things to do. And like, you're only touching the surface too when you're like, oh, we'll program this thing. But then like, it can send signals out and whatever, run power through all these other things. And you can do a lot with that. And it's a whole other world.
I feel so dumb. And it's kind of nice. It's painful because it's starting from scratch. Like, I don't even know what to Google sometimes. I've learned a lot and I keep learning a lot and I hope to keep learning a lot, but I don't know. It's nice to have something to be excited about.
It's a lot of fun. There's something really interesting about it because we like play at such a high layer of abstraction with Ruby, and the web and is even more like JavaScript running in the browser is a crazy layer where you're almost through two operating systems, the browser being a whole, its own renderer and everything there. So yeah, when you're just like, hey, let me send a one over this pin, and you're like, holy crap, that works. It's a lot of fun. It's a whole different level of programming than we're used to.
Well, then you would really like programming on the blockchain, my friend. Have you heard?
Oh, God.
I want to use Ruby to do stuff. And I know that I can, but it feels like
I've heard you could do stuff with Ruby.
I've done one or two things before.
Well, like, sorry, for like hardware
I've
stuff.
I've done a Ruby once or twice.
I don't know. It feels like
it's not like the normal language for it.
Yeah. It feels like there's other things that are probably a better fit for some of the stuff I do want to do.
But maybe you could become the Andrew Kane of the hardware Ruby libraries and just like put out 400 of those like it's your job.
Yeah, like every 10 minutes.
Yeah. The Python something libraries and have ChatGPT convert them to Ruby. I've been ChatGPTing a lot of things recently.
None of the code in the last week he wrote himself.
I mean, no comment. I wanted to try some things with the API, and I thought that if I got a pro ChatGPT subscription, that it would give you unlimited personal API use. Incorrectly. That was stupid of me to think that. Dumb. But now I got a month of it, and yeah, I've been going ham.
He left a PR review for someone the other day with a haiku that he had ChatGPT, right?
Yeah, I did.
Yep. You should just make all your commit messages AI generated thing.
Well, I want to have ChatGPT do automatic code review. And that's why I was starting to tap into the API, because I was like, what if I do this and then I can send all these files? And then someone made something like that in Laravel. And I was like, I could do that. And then it was like 3 a.m. And I was like, what am I doing? Where am I? What time is it? What happened? And that was like Tuesday. So still recovering.
Yeah. I will say MRuby, real quick on that. MRuby is really cool. I opened it in VS Code, opened a Ruby file, and my environment just shit the bed because it's like looking for all this standard MRI Ruby stuff, C Ruby stuff, whatever. And there's a list of packages on the MRuby site, which I went through, and there's some cool stuff there. It is weird compiling Ruby and then running it. I don't know. I mean, it's cool. If I can find a use case for it, I'll use it.
Yeah, I wish more people would use it and talk about it.
On GitHub, I just pulled up the MRuby GitHub, and Matt's was the last commit yesterday. So he's actively working on it, which is neat.
That's like, my understanding is he does a lot more with MRuby these days than he does.
Yeah, it's like his like favorite thing, or like the thing he's been really interested in recently from what I've heard.
He just really loves turning on LEDs.
Yeah.
Yeah,
next Ruby Conf, I'm going to see if I can just sit in a room with him and we just turn on all the different colors.
He's like, actually look, I got an orange one. Yeah, I actually don't remember all the details between MRuby and CRuby, all the little changes and stuff between them. I'd like to go see all the stuff that's different sometime. I know it's intended to be a lightweight Ruby, but what has changed? So what gets removed for that? What do you lose?
A lot, actually.
It's completely different. So that's why it's a little tough for me, too, is I don't know what's available and what's not. And so it's not like I can just go to like the Ruby docs. You have to go to the MRuby docs because I think it's a complete rewrite. I may get this completely wrong.
I think you're right. It's not like you definitely do not have access to the same stuff that you have in CRuby. Different methods, different everything. I'm not everything, but there's a very big difference. Like, you can't just write Ruby you expect, I don't think.
Huh. You can't just require active support / all.
No, I don't think so.
Hi, my name is Andrew Mason, and I'd like to tell you about Honey Badger. Whether USD's 1 is down or you forget to add a configuration file, everyone has an outage from time to time. When your next outage occurs, transparency is critical. The difference between a minor annoyance that people soon forget and a fiasco that creates sustained resentment is how you communicate. That's why you need Honey Badger. Honey Badger is a crucial component of your incident response plan with their uptime monitoring service that now has an exciting new feature, public status pages. Create a new status page with custom domains, branding, and more. Don't let Twitter be the only way your users can find out if your app's down. Sign up for Honey Badger to improve your incident response with a shiny new status page that you'll be proud to show users. Visit honeybadger.io and start giving your users a better experience today. Let them know that Remote Ruby, and specifically Andrew Mason, sent you.
There's a couple of different ways to like run it too. So there is like IRB. It's MIRB. You can write just a Ruby file and run it with MIRB with a file, but then you can also compile it into bytecode and then you still run it with MRuby. You still need MRuby to like run the bytecode, but you can also...
Yeah, it's kind of like Python or whatever.
You can also compile it though and bring it into a C program. You can embed it in another program. So,
So can you embed it in Rust? Because if I can embed it in Rust, then I can take MRuby, put it into Rust, wrap that and put it on the web using using the thingy. What's the web thingy?
Assembly?
Yeah. Oh man, weekend gone.
I've been holding off trying to not say it, but I have also been looking at Rust. I've been going through the tutorial. Rust is scary to me though.
So. It is scary, isn't it? It's like, what is this syntax?
The little stuff I've done is really cool. So they're like build system stuff. It's called Cargo, and you can run cargo docs --open, and any dependencies you have, it will build out like a website locally with all the documentation for those dependencies. Yeah,
Ruby can do that too, right?
And it can open it like as a
there's
website.
Like a, there's like a YRI, like there's like a local server. I don't remember what the command is. There's a command you can run to run a local server to like show all the gem docs.
Really?
Yes. I'm going into research mode.
While you're doing that,
MRI.
We had Terrence Lee on.
Way back when.
Ever ago. I'm going to go find it, link to it. And we talked about...
Yeah, we need to go re-listen to that episode.
Yeah, no joke. We talked about MRuby. It was like one of our first ones.
That was a good chat. I remember that part, but I don't remember all the details. And I didn't really ever play with MRuby after, but maybe briefly once or twice.
Episode 27. It's not until really recently I've even understood the use cases for MRuby, and I still probably don't understand them, but...
Well, now you will, right? You're using it and you're starting to put the pieces together and then start your hardware company. You're going to build the next Juicero or something that everybody is like, why would I buy this overpriced hardware for squeezing bags of pre-juiced juice? Old you remember Juicero. That whole thing?
It's Juicero, right? That was the name of it?
Yeah. So elegant. You know, it was like a $400 Wi-Fi connected juicer that was like, you put in these bags that were pre-juiced and it just like squeezed the bags for you. What a brilliant move.
Have y'all ever heard of Zeus?
Which one?
Not the Greek god. It's like a Rails preloader.
Sounds familiar. Go.
I saw it the other day. It says it preloads your Rails app so your normal development tasks, such as console server generate and specs, takes less than 1 second.
Oh, yeah. This is old. Yeah. I saw it in the Railscast episode that's here in the README. Oh, really? I remember this. Yeah.
I saw something recent just like, hey, we just added support for using Zeus. I think it was actually RubyMine.
Huh, that's funny. Maybe there's a lot of old apps that are still using it.
Maybe that's not a new feature, but maybe the docs were edited recently and that's just why like it was new. But I had never heard of it and I was like, 1 second? But if it's older, I'm guessing that Bootsnap is still better.
So yeah, have you found this other thing that you were like preaching and promoting?
No, I didn't find it, but I know it exists. Someone listening to this knows exactly what I'm talking about. They'll let me know, please. Person out there, I know you exist. I will find it at some point. I know you can do it with Yard. I know that, but that one's not what I'm talking about.
I don't know what I'm doing, and it's fun, and it's a nice little break.
That's the stuff that got us into programming in the first place. Fiddling with stuff and seeing like, oh, I didn't know I could make things like this. It's a blast. Anything where you're like, whoa, I didn't know I could do this. That is very fun. So I still got my ESP32 project to finish getting wired up in my home theater for the LED lights. I got to go grab
the... You're showing me that.
Got to go finish the wiring for that. Just need to crimp the ends of all this stuff and hook it up and mount it in the utility room back there. But I got this new board that's like stackable and everything's fused together. So you can have like all the separate channels for your LED lights for like a house. A lot of people do this for Christmas stuff. There's all kinds of cool things that they'll hook it up to like microphone or whatever that listens to the music that's playing and does crazy animations. I need to finish that, get it all set up. That's such a blast. Stuff that you can like use every day is really fun. Same thing with building software, building things you use every day as opposed to building stuff other people use. And you just got to maintain it. You're making something you use and then you can keep improving it every day when you're like, I'm tired of clicking these three buttons when it should just be this one button. And then you go do it and you're like, oh, this is amazing. Feels the same way. Yeah, I was going to say Devise over three years of when did Rails 7 drop? I forget. Because that was kind of like the major thing.
It was the end of 2020, wasn't it? No, that's when they announced Turbo and Hotwire and stuff. It's the end of 2020.
March 8th. Rails 7.0, December 15th, 2021. Rails 7.0.2 came out in the beginning of 2022.
So it's about a year of like, hey, here's Turbo and stuff. And then here's Rails 7. Like,
but the crazy thing is kind of like, it's been 2 years and probably the most, in the majority of tutorials teaching Rails, like you're going to run into Devise and it's been in a rough spot for 2 years where you like are a newbie. You're following this older tutorial and you install Rails 7 and then it just doesn't let you authenticate, right? Or it's like really weird. So now, as of today, Carlos got version 4.9 of Devise shipped with backwards compatibility too for all the existing UJS apps, but it also has Turbo Hotwire support. So I'm super excited about that because it's been a long time. It's been needed. I think the first person who like published a tutorial of how to hack Devise and get the stuff working properly with Turbo. And then a lot of people were doing like the lazy route, which is like just disable Turbo on all the forms and everything, which works fine, but it's not what you really want. You actually want to use Turbo. There's a whole point. Out of the box now, you can use it, which is sweet. The Warden failure app and all the little other tweaks that you had to do previously to make it all compatible are done for you, which is sweet. Wanted to let people know about that so you can kind of undo those config tweaks and just upgrade to the new version and you're off to the races, my friends. But it's just one of those wins that I feel like the community, where everybody's like worried about Rails dying, it's things like this. Core libraries that kind of get out of maintenance and are not working with the latest Rails, that is crucial for us to continue maintaining and making it a welcoming community and place to be. So I'm glad for Carlos getting that out and happy to help with any other things like that that is semi-abandoned or not well-maintained. But I felt very excited to have that happen today. So just want to throw that out there.
Shout out Carlos. I'm looking at his Ruby Gems profile. It says total gems 64, total downloads 10 billion. So a shout out. That's
amazing.
That's a big number.
Dang. Oh, he's on the i18n gem. So
yep.
That's 700 million in active support. Another 700 million. Thor, which if anybody doesn't know, powers like the Rails generators and stuff. That's 600 million. And hilariously, Rails is 400 million. Wow. I thought that would be way more.
Yeah. Way more active support than Rails.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
What are y'all doing with active support there?
That is funny. I don't know if he's part of the Rails committers or whatever, but yeah, he's on all of the Rails gems and 10.7 billion downloads. Amazing.
Light work.
Yeah, no biggie.
No biggie.
Only a billion behind Raphael.
Light work.
Incredible.
Aspirational, really.
Yeah, get to work.
I will.
You can make your bot just download your own gems 10 billion times.
Yeah, I'm sure I won't get flagged for that, right? Something blockchain.
I mean, they'll see you and they'll be like, wow, this guy's got so many downloads, we don't want to block him.
I don't know. Whatever it is, it has to have Kafka in it. Just so it can be really, really out there. Yeah, I'll get to stepping. I'll let y'all know.
All right. What else is new?
You had mentioned that in Rails 7.1, the new token stuff.
There's a ton of awesome authentication stuff in Rails 7.1. I think most of this stuff is all championed by Jonathan Hefner. One of them is, so like in the past when I've like done auth from scratch, I'd use like a signed global ID and we would generate a token to like reset your password. And it would be like for the purpose of password reset, which would help make sure that token wasn't abused for other purposes. But if you email somebody a token from global ID like that, there's no expirations for it aside from you can set a time limit on it. So it's like available or active for 24 hours or whatever your time limit you set. But like there's no use limit, I should say. Like you can't use it only once. So one of the cool things that has been added to Rails 7.1, it's called generates token for, and you can say generates token for password reset, and you give it a block that returns. It will basically use this token to look up the record, but then it also like compares the data for it. So for example, you could say generates token for password reset, and it makes a token that isn't stored in your database, which is like what you had to do if you wanted to restrict uses in the past, because the signed global ID could be used as many times as you want in that 24 hours. So really you want to expire it somehow, so it's only used once. So what's cool about this is he took basically the same approach, but he combines the current value of, for example, your password. So you can say like, this token is available for 24 hours, so long as the current password matches the string or whatever, the hash for it, for example. So then after they reset their password, the password hash changes, which means that the token's no longer valid because it's included in the calculation of the signature or whatever of the token. So without having to save stuff in the database now, you get single-use tokens like that, which is sweet. So it kind of combines the best of both worlds. And you don't have to save stuff in the database, which is ace. Like that is the coolest part about it because, you know, if you use Devise, you install confirmable and database authenticatable and stuff, and you've got password reset tokens, email confirmation tokens, and like you end up with a bunch of those. And basically, whenever it gets used, it regenerates the token in the database to expire the one that you just used, which is fine, but like they're just like temporary data. We don't need to store them around at all, which is super cool. So it's a great solution to that problem. Exceptionally good. It got merged last June 2022. So whenever Rails 7.1 ships, there's this. He updated the authenticate by method to also accept the current password. So if you're updating your password, it will ask for all three, which is sweet. So you can have the confirmation of the current password built into that check. And I don't know, you just go look at Jonathan's commits to Rails and he's got a bunch of cool stuff like that that he keeps adding to it. So props to him. He's been making some wonderful changes to really, I think, make the like DHH promise of, oh, just make authentication from scratch now actually much more possible because you're not the one responsible for the like timing attacks and everything else, where you previously would have had to been your responsibility for a lot of these things. Now Jonathan's kind of solving those problems and making it really elegant, built into Rails. And then you just write the controllers and views. And I think it really gets to that better balance. Like we talked with Jose a long time ago about dreaming of the future of, had they redesigned or restarted Devise from scratch these days, would be like a generator. And this gives you like all of the backend stuff that you shouldn't have to worry about, the security stuff as much. You still have to worry about security on this stuff, don't get me wrong, but a lot of those nuances that a beginner would not get right, you don't have to worry about it as much. So it's cool stuff. Excited about it.
Chris Oliver says you no longer need to worry about security. You heard it here.
Episode title.
I'll put it on a shirt and sell it at RailsConf.
Yeah, I'll put a lower back tattoo of it, I think.
A tramp stamp?
Love it.
Are y'all going to RailsConf?
Yeah, can't wait. Jason, if you don't, you know, ruin your other knee or something in the meantime, not to jinx it, of course, but
yeah,
you can't miss two conferences.
Oh, I got home yesterday from physical therapy and it was wet in the garage and it was like PTSD because that's how I felt. It was like slipped in the garage on the stairs.
Did you like crawl up the stairs just to be safe?
I was like tiptoeing. It was awful.
But, you know, now that you're like a hardware person, you could probably build yourself one of those little stair elevators. You can just step on it and it'll take you up two steps, three steps, whatever it is.
Now that you've turned on an LED light successfully, it's time to
build an elevator.
Do a little welding. You're good, man.
I don't know how I feel about that. I thought you were going to say one of those chairs that you sit in and it like goes up the stairs.
Exactly. But he could just stand on one.
What are those boards with two wheels that you just stand on? They go. What were those called?
Skateboards.
Ripstick.
Is that what it's called?
The one where it's like two wheels and you like
lean and stuff.
Yeah. I think you're talking about a ripstick. Yeah.
But I just imagine that, but it just lifts me up upstairs.
Maybe I'm not talking about the same thing.
Oh no, I was saying we would make one that did that. That doesn't exist. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
What were they called? There was a more generic name for them because they got banned everywhere. And they, for a while, they're always catching on fire.
But we're talking about something very different. You're talking about like those like motorized like things that you would like lean forward on.
Oh, yes, the hoverboards.
Hoverboard.
Yeah.
I was like, bird scooters? I was talking about
a skateboard.
Yeah.
Yeah, just at first I thought skateboards, but then you said two wheels and I was like, only cool people roll on two wheels on a skateboard.
Busted my face up many times on a two-wheeled skateboard.
Remember that time you broke your arm?
I do remember that very vividly, actually.
I'll never forget it.
Yeah, I mean, then I drove across the country in a cast. It was awesome.
Yeah, don't want to talk about that. Still hurt by that one.
I had to escape in the middle of the night. I didn't know who was after me.
And that's this week's episode of Remote Ruby.
They'll never find me. Was it the Laravel crew?
No, I haven't done anything to piss them off.
Not yet, at least.
Not yet.
Wait till you downvote them on every single post on Reddit.
Oh, yeah, ever made.
Let me get all my Reddit accounts ready. Get my, crack my fingers. Army. Hey, Drake was talking about me, dude. I'm a Twitter finger. I forgot, the quote. And then as soon as I said, I was like, wait, that's not what I, whatever. I'm a keyboard warrior. Fighting in the trenches, Reddit. Doing the good work. Or bad, depending on your point of view.
Doing the work.
Doing work, yeah, that's for sure.
All right.
Anyway.
Yeah. Get to work.
On.
Get to spamming those bots.
I will.
Okay, bye.